All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Welcome to American Vindicta, the Angry American Radio Show. The news is getting worse. It's been confirmed to me today through a source of mine who's in DC right now that we are preparing our main force troops, Marines, Army, for a potential deployment to Israel. A deployment to Israel. Currently, if you haven't been paying attention, Syria is now getting involved. Hezbollah through Syria. I wonder what Bashar al-Assad is doing right now, considering the moments of life that he has left, if he does not stop Hezbollah. Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, was once an ally of ours and European nations for quite a while, until he was branded to be an extremist and a terrorist leader by the Obama administration. Once again, that might have been because he was choosing to go to a gold-backed dinar. But now Iran is threatening a giant earthquake that will happen if the people of Israel attack Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Well, that's already happening. Israel says they've already killed some of Hamas's top terrorist cell leaders. And this is going to be quite interesting with this this next phase of their war. Currently, the ground invasion into Gaza is on hold because of weather. Weather does play a significant role in military operations. But, I mean, it's going to be like their own version of Vietnam. They're going to have to go house to house, door to door, apartment complex to apartment complex. It's going to be like Operation Phantom Fury, the invasion into Fallujah and all those subsequent operations in Fallujah, Iraq. Now there's estimated 300 miles worth of underground zigzagging tunnels underneath Gaza. That is a realm. That subterranean tunnel realm is a place where you don't want to play at. I'll tell you why. Anything that you can do on the combat field where you can easily kill troops, mortar fire, gas attack, fire attack, ambushes, you can multiply those simple things by 100 in effectiveness once you put people inside a tunnel. The U.S. military saw this in Vietnam. You had many tunnel rats who shared their horrific stories. And you can only bet that Hamas learned from those tactics and are prepared. Prepared and preparing. Israel is leaflet dropping Gaza, telling residents to flee towards Egypt. Hamas supposedly is telling all the residents to stay put. And now there's reports that Hamas is killing people that are actually trying to flee. Go figure. Israel seems to be the next launching off point for a world war. Everyone thought it was Ukraine. Now, Zelensky from Ukraine says that he wanted to actually go and to visit Israel and is in support of Israel. And Netanyahu said, don't come. Don't come. Cancel your trip. How interesting. They don't want the Nazi to show up. But I think one of the more interesting turnabouts of all this information isn't just the fact that we have this complex theological conversation of, is this Psalm 83? Are we seeing prophetic wars coming up? Which I kind of say it's hard to deny. It's hard to not discern what's happening. But these things are developing and will continue to develop. There needs to be quite a few more people in play before we can really definitively say this is Psalm 83. But I think that, Israel's God's timepiece. So we need to pay attention to what's happening at, and all you anti-Israel, anti-Jew people. And y'all can just stop leaving messages on the comment section. Please don't send me any more emails. I'm just going to start deleting them, and I'm just going to ban you because I'm not going to tolerate it. One of the interesting things that has happened, at least to the show, since I went on Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, since I went on with him, I've had quite a few people that have subscribed or they comment on stuff that I do here that are very anti-Israel, anti-Jewish people. Like, I don't get where you guys, your whole Zionist crap, this crap that you guys talk about. The Holocaust really wasn't that bad. The Jews run the world and they're trying to destroy the world. Like, do you not understand what you're saying? Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said that. So I don't understand your theology. It's one of these rabbit hole things where, like, you're blaming the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all these really rich families of banksters that have no reflection of God within their lives. And, to me, it's kind of stupid when you blame everything on Israel. We're to pray for Israel. We're to pray for the repentance of God's people, which is the Israelites. So, like, there's this weird thing going on. And there's a couple Christian news stations out there who talk about Zionist crap all the time, to the point that it's become like a racial theme. And then you have people who will take that Zionist approach and they'll apply, well, Hitler wasn't that bad, and the American media overplayed the concentration camps, or the concentration camps weren't real. okay, guys, that is such dangerous speech to go down that rabbit hole and to really believe it and to really call yourself a Christian still, and Jesus is a Jew, right? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't care what your theology is. You're not going to change mine. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep preaching what I'm preaching, and I'm going to keep believing what I believe. And if you want to believe Adolf Hitler was the second coming of Christ, if you want to believe that, all the problems in the world are caused by the Jews, man, knock your socks off. Go believe in whatever you want to, but if I see it anymore in the comment section, I'm just going to delete it, and I'm going to ban you, and I really don't care because I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to spread the gospel. So, sorry. Just needed to clear the air on that one. I'm serious. I mean, that within itself is prophetic. The amount of distrust amongst the church, the amount of division amongst the church, how confused we've gotten, how we point fingers in every direction based off of any religiosity. And then these man-made concepts, they create legs of their own. They become their own little monsters. They become their own religions of some people. We're so focused on division and hate, which is exactly what Satan wanted. Just don't be focused on this. Don't be focused on the Bible. Be focused on your hatred towards people. Be focused on your patriotism, on your prepping, and on your kids. Be focused on your vacation life. Be focused on everything else. But don't be focused on Christ. Many of you are going to pay the price of that one day. I call repentance. The Muslim extremists, the jihadists, they called for a worldwide jihad. Nothing happened. I call for worldwide repentance. Hopefully that will happen, right? Did you know that God rejoices and the angels in heaven rejoices for every single soul snatched out of the fires of hell? Every single one of them. Out of 99 people that would be considered righteous and they make their way to heaven, it's the one guy, the one out of 100 that the angels rejoice over. Praise God. We saved another one from the fires. If you don't know where I'm talking about, you need to turn to Luke and you start reading Luke. We'll be doing a little bit of that today. Let's go over the news real quick. Israel tells Zelensky not to visit. Little creep. Zelensky actually said that he's afraid that the war in Israel is going to take the limelight off of the war in Ukraine. Hey, Zelensky, you need to worry that you don't get Gaddafi'd. That's what you need to worry about. Your war in Ukraine, it was over before it ever began. And even though we've thrown well over $150 billion into Ukraine, who knows what else, right? We're still going to lose Ukraine to Russia. Russia's going to get its intended goal. Oh, and by the way, NATO is now announcing that they no longer recognize Vladimir Putin as the president of Russia, but that he is a dictator in a dictatorship. This is setting up a narrative that is going to stitch an event from here with that narrative to another event over here. And what that's going to connect is this next series of wars. Call it World War III. Call it what you want, but I've been calling it for a long time. 2024 is going to be World War III. Most likely, Civil War at the same time here in America. Many people wonder, what is America's goal here with Israel and with Ukraine? Many Christians wonder, what is America's stance in the book of Revelation and during this end times as it's coming? Where is America? We're Americans. We want to know. Well, you should probably pray for that. You should probably ask discernment for that. I can tell you, based off of biblical history, that we're screwed. We're screwed. There's no way the righteous blood that cries out to God here in America, there's no way we will not be escaping that judgment. America's regrettably earned that judgment. And so has many people in the church who align themselves with the parties of those who partake in the child sacrifices at the Planned Parenthood centers. The church will be judged first. The teachers will be judged first. the preachers, the teachers, the church, then the nation. Where are you at? Where is America in the time of judging? Worry about yourself. Dig your well first. Worry about your family. Worry about that spiritual man inside you, inside your children, inside your family, your connection to Christ. Worry about that. You can't worry about the nation. You're not going to stop World War III. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. There's nothing you can do about it except get right with Jesus. Stop sinning. Observe what Christ told you to observe. The golden rule. God comes first. No gods before him. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Repentance. Asking for forgiveness whenever you've sinned against your brother. Oh, and by the way, when they ask for repentance for sinning against you, you must forgive them. These lessons are going to help us through these trials, these tribulations, these hard times coming. I don't care if you're pre-trib rapture. I don't care if you're post-tribulation rapture. I don't care if you're interim tribulation rapture. What about the saints coming out of the great tribulation, right? That's all I'll say. People who get so lost on the pre-trib, no pre-trib, rapture ready this, rapture ready that. Are you ready to meet Christ tonight? There's your rapture. For all those people who just recently died in Gaza and in Israel and in Ukraine, and for all of our brothers and sisters in China and elsewhere in the Middle East who are dying for their faith, martyrs for Christ, or for people who are dying in war, dying in crime, dying in poverty, dying in sickness, they just got raptured. I hope they were ready to meet Christ. It can come any day, any hour. Be ready. Jesus comes like a thief in the night. You'll never know it. Be ready. All these people who worry about rapture and you put it in your little name tags whenever it's in your emails. It's your identification. Rapture ready. How about Christ ready? Ready to meet Christ. I don't like the rapture thing because one thing is that you can't find the word rapture anywhere in the Bible. Rapturo, as it's said in Latin, harpazos, as it's said in Greek. And I'm not disagreeing to the point of stirring strife with any of my brethren. I'm just telling you that I don't like it because it's used in a base of fear. It's a fear-based tactic. And I don't like it because that is not Christ. That is not God. We don't do these things based off of fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. We're to be ready. What about Daniel's tribulation? What about all the people throughout all the time period, even to Christ being crucified? What about all those trials and tribulations? What about Nero? Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, the Biden administration, I'll throw them in there with it, Obama's administration, every trial and tribulation, we've been here through it. We're still here. We're going to be here until Jesus comes back. Praise be God the day he returns. There's your rapture. Until then, don't live in that spirit of fear. Just because it's getting bad, it's getting ugly out there. It's not this. And I don't mean to demean people either. I don't want to do that. This is just Doug's personal belief. I don't like the rapture thing because I believe it's fear-based, which is not of the Lord. And, you know, people are like, oh, you know, in a blink of an eye and twinkling of a nose, and we're not going to be here no more. And okay. What about all those who are still here who waited for the rapture when ISIS was in Iraq, mercilessly killing people to the point of cannibalizing people? What about China? What about the Holocaust? What about what's going on in Israel right now? Not like you cannot deny that prophecy must be fulfilled. So that's where I'm at with that. Recently had someone leave a comment, said that I had a Jesus complex. I don't know exactly what they mean. I think it was a demeaning comment. My whole complex of life is based off of Jesus now, praise God. And if you don't like the fact that I'm calling you out as a man to stop sinning, learn how to protect your family, do things that are good for you to become an asset to your family and not a fat bag of potato chips sitting on your couch playing fantasy football with your buddies, if you got offended by scripture, well, that's kind of a your problem. And if you got offended because Doug said you should probably get in shape, learn useful skills for survival, it doesn't mean learn how to dig a spider hole and sleep underground. It means be an asset to your family. If you got offended because Doug said you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, if you don't have training and you bought all these pretty guns and you barely shoot them, and when you do shoot them, all you do is go down to the local gun store or the range and you mag dump into a paper target. If you got offended by that, well, sorry. Truth hurts. You should probably be better prepared. If you lived in a flood zone and you're the one guy who doesn't own a boat, this is just me thinking out loud, okay? If I lived in a flood zone and I'm the one guy who doesn't have a boat on standby, and as the flood waters are rising, as they periodically, you can almost time it when they do, and I see all my family and friends, my neighborhood, they're floating away on their survival boats, and here I am the whole time going, man, that's what you could have used a boat for. Never thought I needed it. That's kind of my process, in a redneck way, of why you need a gun and why you should train with it. Or some of you are going to be very surprised when you go click and your gun doesn't go boom and you have no idea what to do next and you fiddle around with your magazine, the slide, and you hesitate. Hesitation kills. Not knowing how to properly use a weapon kills people. I'm preaching to the choir. Most people sitting here listening to me understand exactly what I'm saying. There's a 1% of you that I'm talking to, a 1%. And I don't talk enough to you. So there you go. You had your chewing out for the day. Once again, I don't get friendship pay, but if you do want to send me a tip for yelling at you or stepping on your toes and making you feel like you need to be held accountable, you can go to the Give Send Go page and leave us a tip. It's about to get weird out there, guys. It's about to get real ugly out there. Every day I look on my YouTube feed, all I see is giants in Nephilim and rapture and angel this and demon that. I rarely see few things about repentance of sins. You better repent. You better repent. No man knows the day or hour, means you cannot predict the time that Jesus returns. And you may meet him before he comes down in the clouds. So you better be ready. Moving forward, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, said that America can absolutely afford another war. We can afford another war. When I see someone say that we can, typically in the government, it means we are and we will afford another war. That next war is probably going to be us bombing Damascus, And I sit back and I wonder, what is going to be America's role in this next war? How does that relate to prophecy? Are we going to be wiped off the map so that we cannot come to the aid of Israel, which I think is probably the most predictable thing that's going to happen? Wiped off the map does not mean nuclear annihilation necessarily. It would mean either an EMP attack, God help us, or it would be a critical infrastructure cyber attack. One so bad, so complex that it would turn America literally overnight into one giant war zone from sea to shining sea, which would force our military troops to come back to America to help stabilize, right? Stabilize, which at that point in time, I mean, upon the route back, the Navy would be very much at risk from any type of attack. I ponder this because China is not involved in any of this that's going on right now, which kind of makes me question, a little worrisome. What is China planning? What are they doing? What are they scheming about? Because China must be somewhere stocking up on ammunition, getting their men trained, building more boats, more planes, more submarine hunting aircraft, to also building submarines, their hypersonic missiles, nuclear missiles, their satellite attacking aircraft. I mean, all this stuff is still being created by Iran, by I almost said Israel, by Iran, by Russia, by China, by all these other little proxy nations who can't help wherever they can. We'll be in bad country the first time you hear reports of any one of our satellites being attacked. And I mean, like, openly attacked and destroyed. War is on. It's inevitable at that point. You have to take down our satellites. Our satellites help control guided missiles. ISAT is how we get a lot of intelligence. It's also how we pass a lot of communication radio-wise. It's how we pass a lot of communication internet-wise. There's a lot of interesting things that we can do with a satellite, spying wise, gathering intelligence, blocking intelligence. So, in order for our battlefield zone that we'll be in, we now have a military that is dependent upon satellite communication. So you cannot have total spectrum dominance without the ability to use high frequency radios, or without satellites. These two have to talk to each other. Units have to talk to each other. Not only that, but you can plan missions now based off of a smartphone and an artillery strike, or what we call a call for fire mission. You can do a lot of this based off smartphone features now that they have, which are really cool. And programming through certain things with satellites, you have to have that satellite infrastructure for that total spectrum dominance. The sea, the air, the land, and the cyber all requires satellites. Take out the satellites. Check one. I believe secondary would be create a mass chaotic event like the Black Awakening, almost a mass chaotic event in America, probably in every Democratic city, where all your sleeper cells that you've been smuggling into America through the permissions of the politicians for the last decade or more, they all get activated. They all go to their strategic locations for caches or to the local Walmart and gun stores and get whatever they can, and they just start wreaking havoc. Start wreaking havoc. Overload the system. Law enforcement can't handle it. Your little civilian militias won't be able to handle it. The thing that you'll be able to do the most is circle the wagons where you live and protect where you're at and try to bug out if possible. And hopefully you can. For you guys who plan on bugging out, you better make sure your vehicle is up to snuff. I would consider doing some rehearsals right now with your family, with your friends. You know, hey, Saturday, whatever date, we all need to meet at this location at this point in time. This is going to be a dry rehearsal for, you know, it's time to bug out, right? Broken Arrow, and everybody goes to the bug out location. Now's the time to be practicing that stuff. From there, you know, I would use every terror cell involved in America, and I would just create havoc for everyone and anyone. Overload the system. The military, National Guard be overloaded. Police will be overloaded. It will be so chaotic within that first 72 hours that you can move a lot of people strategically to a lot of locations. That's where people predict where a lot of assassinations, political assassinations, would happen during that point in time. God forbid. We don't want to see any of these things happen, but this is kind of what we plan on for the foreseen future. You also have the possibility where FEMA, was it last year or the year before last, talked about loose nukes, where you had either dirty bombs being exploded within large metropolitan cities or actual nuclear devices being exploded within large metropolitan cities. Notice metropolitan cities, these large democratic refuges. This is most likely the place where bad things are going to happen and revolve around. Do not be around these places. Leave them now, if you can. Leave them. Relocate if possible. From there, sky's the limit. Chemical warfare, biological warfare, terrorism, anything from organized crime to petty crime, it's all going to be on the table. It's all going to be on the table. It's going to be a mass murderer's wet dream. By wet, I mean blood. Because who's going to come stop them? Who's going to come stop the next, you know, Timothy McVeigh from blowing up another building? Who's going to stop the next John Wayne Gacy from, you know, raping a bunch of kids? Who's going to stop the next, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer or the Boston Strangler? These guys are still around, and they have followers. Did you know that? They actually have people that are followers of these serial killers. Everybody worried about, you know, Charles Manson. Charles Manson's a dime a dozen. Dime a dozen. We see now the sense of immorality, dark immorality in America. When you have so many people that actually are vilifying Israel for their response against Hamas for these brutal, barbaric attacks, even to the point that I saw two people that both work at the same news agency were arguing with each other over semantics. One was a black lady. She was arguing for Palestine. One was a white guy arguing for Israel. And the black lady, Black Lives Matter supporter, all this kind of crap, it's really irrelevant that she's black. It's absolutely irrelevant, okay? Or even that she's a woman. This is just two people talking, right? I'm in support of Israel. I'm in support of Palestine. And one person says, so you're in support of all the butchering of all the children and the families? And then the other person, the black lady, more or less goes, well, you know, those types of words are inflammatory and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's where we're at right now in America. You actually have politicians right now who are fully in support of Palestine. Fully in support of the atrocities that happened. And it's not like Hamas decided to go and invade and hold part of Israel. They just went there to terrorize, to butcher, to rape, and to kidnap. And then they went back into Gaza. There was no military mission. That was absolute terrorism. And we have people in Congress right now who are in full support of it. Would you be surprised if they were all Democrats? That's why I say we're so ripe for a civil war. We're right there. We're right on the cusp. We're right on the cusp. I think Donald Trump running for re-election is irrelevant at this point. Joe Biden running for a re-election, it's irrelevant at this point. If they start a war before all that starts, or if they attack America before all that happens, we're going to be at war. And it's all irrelevant because war now takes precedence. And it's not just here in America with the violent rhetoric. Very sadly, this morning you had a guy who was I think it's Minnesota, maybe Michigan, area. And he was a landlord, and two of his tenants was a mother and her 6-year-old son. And he went down there and stabbed them both. The 6-year-old boy, unfortunately, did die of his injuries. That's called murder, by the way. And stabbed the mother. I think she lived. And he was heard saying, all Muslims must die. This Mockingbird-like media that we have, Operation Mockingbird, a former CIA operation started back in the 1950s, is doing exactly what it was designed to do, to stir strife, to foment murder, anger, depression, madness. We're not the only ones. We're not the only ones who use it. Israel uses it too. There's actually a 95-year-old Israeli army reservist who, I guess it was on some social media, and he said, these animals can no longer live. Kill all women and children. We're all doing exactly what Satan wants. We're all trying to kill each other, and we're all trying to vindicate each other's opinions for why the other person should die. And that's why I call for repentance. Because people are going to do what they're going to do. People are going to be overtaken by their emotions. They're not going to think rationally. And they're going to cut the power supply to a city because it needed to be. They're going to go shoot up a school because they're different than me. They're going to go and blow up an abortion clinic. They're going to go and burn down a church. People are going to continue to find a way to harass, to maim, to mutilate, to kidnap, to butcher, to kill each other in the name of their own special, unique reasons until the day Jesus returns. So what I say is, be ready. Be ready. As Dave Hodges always says, you know, food, water, gold, silver, tools, all that good stuff. And it's all needed. It's all necessary. It's all necessary. I think it's unnecessary when you sell everything that you own to buy what someone on the radio told you to get. But for some people who are brand new Christians to what we're talking about right now, this may seem just crazy to you. Some people may say that, this is just the world doing its thing, just one of the many cycles of war. That's exactly what Satan wants you to believe, my friends. It's just another day on earth. Another day on the flat earth, right? Another day on the hollow earth. Another day on your next stupid rabbit hole conversation that you want to go down instead of doing the proper thing of preparing spiritually, repenting of your sins, getting right with your maker, getting your family in line. Nope, let's go down the next rabbit hole. But we're already there. There's no stopping what's going to happen. We're soon going to see this effect of simultaneous wars. Wars between China, Russia, civil war in America, war in the UK. Who knows what's going to happen in South America? Most likely, while all this is happening, Canada, I didn't forget about you. It seems like your government's going to move in and disarm the entire populace. New Zealand, you're not going to escape it. Australia, you're not going to escape it. No one is going to escape what's coming. I don't care if Jim Jordan is the Speaker of the House and Donald Trump becomes the president. If anything, maybe that'll just speed up the war. Now experts are warning that Central American United Nations camps are strategically being located so that they can hold 1 million people a month to push north into America. Where are all these people coming from? And what are they going to do when they get here? They're going to go build roads and highways. You know, some of them, without any citizenship, are becoming law enforcement, going into the military, into places where they're getting special access to intelligence and clearances. But no, guys like me, according to our government, we're the real threat. We have Israel now being claimed that Benjamin Netanyahu has created a false flag to allow the attacks upon Israel to happen so that he can get in a war with Iran. Iran warns that it will intervene if Israel launches a ground offensive in Gaza. That's going to happen. That ground offensive is probably going to take a couple months. Like I said, it's probably going to take a couple months. And the medias around the world are going to paint Israel as monsters, butcherers, that they are there, that they've created their own genocide, their own Holocaust of the Palestinian people. And the whole world is going to completely just brush away the fact that for many, many years, the Gaza Strip has always been a heavy point of contention where you have consistent missile barrages from Hamas and Hezbollah into Israel, and multiple terror attacks, all of the same name brand religion from the Ishmaelites. UN warns of mass ethnic cleansing of Palestinians as refugee shelters are now overflowing. Building up the narratives. Putin said that Ukraine's counteroffensive has utterly failed. It's only going to get worse. U.S. sends orders to have some troops as Israel and Hamas war escalates to start moving more troops towards that area. The Marines have actually now have been ordered to move out of Kuwait because of the growing conflict. I wonder where they're going to be repositioned. This is all going to eventually meet at some escalation point. There's going to be a major escalation point. And it's going to happen in every country that gets involved with this war. And it's going to be a buildup to something like a Psalm 83, something like an Ezekiel 38, 39. And I don't think you can deny the war that's coming. I think anyone who doesn't see it, you're living in the world. You are part of the world. You have blinders on. And you're just not seeing it. And for some people, I've talked to a lot of people who are frustrated now at trying to get their family members to prepare, trying to get their family members to understand what is happening around the world. You need to be ready for it. And they just lackadaisically ignore you. I understand. That's why I say you can only take care of yourself and your family. Here we go. We're on Zero Hedge. Israel denies ceasefire plans after Iran said Hamas is willing to release hostages if airstrikes stop. And now Putin is getting involved. Iran emphasizes that Hamas has no problem to continue resisting. I think Israel's getting set up and they're falling for it. Well, it's just one big planned event, one way or the other. Moving on to Breitbart, judge gags Trump in January 6th case, barred from targeting Jack Smith and witnesses. We're not going to have a free, balanced election. We're not going to have a fair election here in America, probably ever again. This will just be one more bit of fuel thrown onto the fire. And just wait. Did it not worry anybody over the weekend how many American nations, or excuse me, how many American states were promoting Palestine and the death of the Israelis, death of Jews specifically? I mean, guys, you can't deny it. We're right there. So let's move on. I don't want to be the guy who sits here and covers the news every day. There's so many other people who are way better than that. I'm just letting people, know that the news is bringing about prophecy. And once again, real quick, this little war hawk, Lindsey Graham, is threatening to force Iran out of the oil business, says that we should nuke Iran, nuke Palestine, nuke the Gaza Strip, nuke Russia. Everybody's so ready for war. Everybody is so ready for war until the war happens. This is what I was going to cover during our active shooter training that we had last weekend. I wanted to go over this because if we're not involving God in what we're doing, we're leaving out quite a bit of a strategic advantage of ours. So this was October 5th. October 5th, the day before the training started. This was my Bible study for the day. It was called The Middle Grounders. Wrote by David Wilkerson. There is a middle ground in the Christian life, and those who choose to live on it share certain characteristics. One of these is a refusal to die to the things of this world. The names of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh expose the characteristics in them. Reuben means a son who sees. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, but he lost his birthright because he was driven by lust. Jacob described this son as a unstable as water. You shall not excel. That's Genesis 49:4. Reuben had eyes only for this world, its lusts, its things, its pleasures. He was unstable because his heart was always divided, and this spirit was passed on to his posterity. Then we have Gad. Gad means fortune or troop. Simply put, this suggests that soldiers of fortune were mercenaries. Moses said of Gad, he provided the first part for himself. That's Deuteronomy 33:21. In other words, Gad's tribe was outwardly obedient, but inwardly they were consumed with their own problems and the need to make it in the world. Gad's philosophy was, I will fight with the Lord's army and do everything God expects of me, but first I must get myself and my family set up, then I'll be free to do more for the Lord. Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget or to neglect. This was Joseph's firstborn son, and he should have received this birthright. But even in Manasseh's childhood, Jacob saw a sad trait developing. Manasseh would one day forget the ways of his father Joseph and neglect the commandment of the Lord. Consider these combined traits of middle ground Christians, unstable as water in spiritual convictions, never excelling in the things of God, lukewarm, weak with lust, ruled by selfish needs, neglecting the word, not taking the Lord's commandment seriously, making their own choices instead of trusting God, forgetting past blessings and dealings, unwilling to let go of certain idols, justifying their own decisions, not willing to die to all that would seduce them back to middle ground. The Lord's fullness requires following him with all the heart, all the strength. May the names of these tribes be lessons to all who would follow Jesus to higher ground. So, I kept reading on and rereading much of this. And I want to go to October 9th's Bible study day. It's called The Least Amount Will Do. If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? That's Luke 16, verse 12. Jesus is saying, you say you want a revelation, something to enable you to do greater things. Yet how can you be entrusted with that kind of faith if you are not reliable with the things others have given you? Jesus' words must have left his disciples scratching their heads in confusion. Their master knew they did not own anything, much less something that another person had given them. They had forsaken all to be his disciples and had followed him to the best of their ability. His words here simply did not seem to apply to them. What does Jesus mean by the words, what is another man's? He is speaking of our bodies and souls, which he purchased with his own blood. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus is telling us your body does not belong to you anymore. If you will not allow me to look inside you, deal with your sin, and sanctify you, how can you expect me to entrust you with something greater? The disciples had requested an increase of faith. Jesus had a ready answer for them. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That's Luke 17:6. Jesus is speaking of the hidden things we must deal with as his followers. He is saying, before you can believe God to move mountains, you must remove the roots of sin. Examine your heart and remove everything that is unlike me. We do not need great apostolic faith to do this. The very least amount of faith will do. For the church, the body of Christ, and for those who are going to be coming to Christ for their salvation in the not so near future, the least amount of faith. May God grant you the ability to have a Bible on hand so that you too can help bring others deeper and more intimate with Christ, evangelize, win souls for the kingdom. All this is for naught if you do not think that way. I knew of a man who, when things were to get bad, wanted to have men like me at his disposal to escape, to flee, to run. He had the ability to. He had the money to. The faith in men like that are not strong. Though the Bible does say that a wise man will see trouble coming and he'll remove himself from that trouble. Sometimes I think that this idea of escapism, either through your rapture, through your bunkers, through your bug outs. What about those who are called to stay and to preach? Do you take that ability out of your life? Do you take that calling out of your life to flee? Maybe God wanted you to stay, to evangelize, to preach of his coming. For some of us, that will be what you're doing. I don't know, maybe me, maybe you. For others, I believe that we are going to be going off to the mountains, going into those deeper places where God's going to hide us and he's going to bring us together. I pray for that. I pray that we all are given the strength to endure during those days. As scripture says, this is the endurance of the saints. You're going to rely so heavily upon the Spirit of God, upon those miracles being brought into the wilderness like the Hebrews were coming out of Egypt. And then they're going to be brought into the wilderness so God can expose himself to his people. They see him and then brought into that good land. For many of us, we haven't been brought through the wilderness yet. Our time as a country may be just around the corner for this next generation to be brought into a wilderness again. Be ready for that. Be ready for it. If you had to flee on foot, you may not be able to carry every gun that you bought and every bucket of food that you bought. I'm not saying don't prepare. Physically, you better be prepared. Spiritually, you better be prepared. If you want, turn with me to Luke 14. Luke 14. Starting at verse 25, the cost of discipleship. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt without taste is worthless. Verse 34, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you think Jesus was talking to people who did not have ears on their head? I can't remember which Greek philosopher said it, but it was kind of unique. He said that it might have been Epictetus, I think. He said, we have two eyes and two ears and one mouth, so we can watch and listen twice as much and not speak as much. Kind of a roundabout of that quote. For many of my brethren of the sword, living by the sword and dying by the sword, as I once did, as I once believed. The parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Now listen closely to me, boys. All you guys who know me, or you guys that are like-minded of me, your faith is questionable. Even you are very special to the Lord. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. For many people right now, I speak as a fool, as Paul says. For many people right now, military, law enforcement, veterans, you believe so much in your carnal abilities. You believe so much in the gun, the way of the gun, your authority, your skills. All that is for naught, because you and I know just as well that the one random stray bullet comes for us all. Most of us have seen it. Some of us have experienced it. You never know. That demon of suicide creeps around in your mind. Those demons claiming that the only redemption you get is at the bottom of the bottle, or the last pill that the doctor gave you that helps you go to sleep and not have those wicked dreams anymore of your past. They're lies. They're all lies. Coming straight from the Father of lies himself. What you need is Christ, my friends, my brothers. What you need is Christ. Christ heals all. You put on that blanket of love. I would like to say, you know, when you put on a nice warm blanket, how comforting you feel. That's the love of Christ. For some of us who were in previous wars, we understand laying down your life for a brother. Jesus said that before we ever said it. Jesus applied that in a way that no man has ever applied that ever and will not ever again. There is salvation in the Lord. Jesus is not a figment of your imagination. If he was, if there was no God, why is there so much need for Israel to be condemned upon every turning of every page? Why does the whole world care what tiny Israel does? If Christ was not real and the demons were not real, and this is all the figment of our imagination, why does the elite bathe themselves in the bloods of the innocent? Why at the Bohemian Grove do they have the cremation of care, an ancient Babylonian tradition where they would burn a child at the hands of Moloch? Why the need? Why the need for the sorcery and the witchcraft? Why the need for all the occultism in the U.S. government from the 1930s and on? Because it is real. For some of us, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with princes of the air, these principalities, these demons in these unforeseen realms, fallen angels and their schemes. Some of us, we have wrestled with the flesh and blood, and it's tormenting to know what a man can do to another man, or what a man can do to a child, or what a mother can do to her own child. One of the hardest things I had to get over, I call it reading the tabloids, was checking all the internet outlets, you know, hey, what's going on this week? And how many different times I saw parents killing their own children. I just read a story this morning from The Sun. These hardcore vegan parents, they look like might be in their early 30s, late 20s, maybe. They have at least three or four children. They starved the 2-year-old daughter to death because they went on this extreme vegan diet. It's only getting worse. It's only getting weirder out there, guys. Draw closer to God every day. Draw closer to God every day. Read that Bible more and more. For some of you who you have a hard time reading your Bible, this book is $14 on Amazon. It's called God is Faithful by David Wilkerson. It's a daily devotional. It's how I do my Bible study. I believe David Wilkerson and his preachings is truly a gift by God. For me, his words resound with me, and all he ever does is reflect what the Bible says with intensity of repentance. Repentance. That's how I begin today. That's how I end with you now. Repent. I'm sorry I'm not here talking to you about cool Christian science fiction stuff. You need to repent. I don't know how many times we got to say it, from Pastor David Lankford to all the other pastors around the world right now. asking for repentance from the church. Turn from your ways, or look to Israel and a stiff-necked people. This is God doing business with Israel, as my dear friend Pastor Jamie Walden says. America, we're going to suffer the same fate. Be ready. That's all I got. Stay frosty. See you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.